Take your Bibles quickly this morning and turn with you to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Made us whole, didn't he? By the way, Dan, we're still sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. Praise God for that. Sins are under the blood. Have the assurance of eternal life. God did a work in our hearts, right? And changed our very lives. Stand with me, please, and read three verses. Colossians chapter 1, this is part of the Apostle Paul's prayer for the believers at Colossae. Verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," talking about their turn to the Lord, "do not cease to pray for you and to desire," here it is, "that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." Boy, that's a pretty good prayer, isn't it? Father, we thank you for Paul's prayer. He prayed for the church of Colossae, and no doubt if he were alive today, he'd be praying for us. We're going to take him at his word, Lord. This is what we need as well. The truth that's displayed here, Lord, is something we need to grasp and apply. Lord, I know hearts are heavy and needs are great, but your grace is sufficient. If there's anyone here without the Lord Jesus, they too can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. They too can say, "God touched me and brought me to himself." Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lord, bless our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Let me show you something in these verses. If you outline the verse, it's this way. In verse 9, Paul makes his request. Notice what he asks. He says, "I desire, it is my prayer for these believers in Colossae to be filled, to be completely filled up with God's will in wisdom and spiritual understanding." He wanted people to know God. He wanted people to know truth. He wanted people to fully understand their position in Christ and who Christ is and what they have. Do we fully understand that? Someone said recently, in the vestibule this morning, we have smartphones, right? Some of our smartphones are smarter than we are. Somebody made the comment, says, "Well, there's things on my smartphone I still don't know what it's all about," right? So we do not use fully. I have a smartphone, and all the things that it's capable of doing, I don't use all of that. I just don't do that. And I don't understand all that I have on my smartphone. I'm not sure we understand all that we have in Christ. It's amazing. It'll take a lifetime or more, actually an eternity, to learn all that we have in Christ. So Paul makes the request, but he makes a request for a very particular purpose. He says, I make this request that," verse 10 begins with "that," "so that," or "in order that." There's a purpose here. The request is verse 9. The results are in verse 10 and 11, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord, that you might be pleasing to God, that you might be fruitful in every good work, that you might increase in the knowledge of Christ, that you may gain divine strength." Now here's the truth. Paul is saying believers, are you listening, believers, need to seek and to pursue spiritual knowledge and understanding so that they can apply that truth to their personal lives. It's not just knowledge by itself. It's knowledge plus the application is Christian living. Okay? It seems to me that there seems to be a large disconnect in the lives of many believers between knowing God's word and applying God's word. You see that? There seems to be a disconnect. We know what God's word says, but we don't always respond to it. Do you see the disconnect? As a preacher of God's word, and I'm sure other preachers have the same feelings, it disturbs me when I see believers growing in knowledge. They're gaining knowledge about God's word and the things that pertain to the Lord. But then you don't see quite the same the spiritual growth and the maturity and the application that you expect in their lives by knowing God's word. There seems to be a disconnect. Or when you know, there's sometimes God lays on a preacher's heart a message that you know would be a blessing to people in the audience if they'll take it and listen to it and apply it. And you give the message and it just kind of rolls off and nobody responds. You wonder, what's going on? So I see this disconnect between knowing God's word and applying God's word. Do you see that? Now, James explains that. He identifies it and explains that. Now turn to James chapter 1. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. James was very much concerned, like the Apostle Paul, to be sure that believers knew truth. You got to have knowledge. Before a person is saved, they've got to have a knowledge of a certain amount of truth. Amen? They've got to know that they're sinned, that they're sinful by the conviction of the Spirit of God. They need to know that Jesus Christ is the only way. They need to know what God's word says. So there takes a certain amount of knowledge to understand who they are so they can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. In James chapter 1, look at the challenge. The challenge is in verse 21. There's a positive and a negative. The negative challenge from James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." Don't you like that word, superfluity? He says, lay aside, cast aside, as you'd cast aside a worn out garment, all filthiness, it means moral defilement, and superfluity of naughtiness. The word superfluity means overflowing. In other words, all this overflowing of wickedness, put sin aside. There's the negative challenge. And then the positive challenge is, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. James says, put aside the sin and receive the gift of the engrafted word. The word engrafted, it gives the idea of implanted. The word of God that God has given to us that we can understand by the Spirit of God. Amen? He says, receive that meet with meekness into your heart and make the application, because the word of God, and it's not talking about able to save your soul in salvation, it's able to deliver us from the weakness of the flesh, the temptations of sin. It's a powerful thing, is it not? You got with me? So James is saying, now, please, you got to know God's word and you got to receive it. And the idea of receiving is to receive that which is offered. God's word is available to every believer, at least in America, right? I'm sure in parts of this world, the Word of God is not as available. But we have the Word of God. It's available. We can study God's Word. We can learn God's Word. We can know. So James says, receive it. And then notice what he does. He quickly gives a caution in verse 22. But the thought continues, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Do you see what James is saying? James is saying to believers, be careful. There are believers, if you think that the increase in mental knowledge of God's word alone is equivalent to spirituality and maturity, you're being deceived. You see the truth? If we as believers think, oh, if I can just increase in knowledge, if I can just get more knowledge, if I can just learn more stuff from God's word, if I can learn things and have a mental ability to conceptualize the truth, then that makes me a spiritual person and that's spiritual maturity. James says, no, no, no. Being a hearer only and receiving information is not sufficient. If that's all you think Christianity is all about, you're deceiving yourself. Would you agree? Would you agree? There are some believers who seek God's word, perhaps, but they don't desire to apply God's word to their life at all. They're content where they are. Some believers have gained a lot of biblical knowledge, mental knowledge, but it hasn't seemed to affect their lives. It doesn't produce change. There's no encouragement. There's no Christ-like character. Believers read their Bible, not out of a sense of spiritual growth, but out of a sense of duty or responsibility. They don't receive the encouragement that God's word's available. Folks go to church. They listen to the sermon, but it doesn't seem to affect them. They listen politely. They nod their heads. They agree with the message. They feel good about coming, but there's really no or little intention of doing anything with the truth they've heard. I'm not trying to be critical this morning. I'm trying to exhort us to apply what we know. Most of you know much, and praise God for it. Let me ask you some personal questions this morning, not for us, not to be answered out loud, of course. What do you do with the knowledge that you gain when you sit down and have devotions? What do you do with the knowledge that you receive? You read a portion of God's word for your devotion. What do you do with it? Does it cause you to rejoice? Does it make you, does it encourage you? Does it motivate you to worship the Lord and cry out and say, praise God? Does it give you comfort? Does it give you hope? Does it give you direction? Do you see yourself in God's word, and do you realign yourself to God's word and say, boy, God, I need to change some things in my life? What do you do with it? Secondly, what do you do with Bible knowledge that you gain through the preaching of God's word? You're listening to preaching this morning. What are you going to do with it? You think about it? You take it home with you? Do you ask God to make it real to you? Do you just consider carefully what God says to you, not what I say, what God's word says, and then you adjust your life? Or do you just sit there and nod your heads and say yes, and that's great, and then we walk out the door and we forget what we've just been told? If we're not actively pursuing truth in God's word, we're not even a hearer. We're just a fake. And if we're not taking what God's word says and applying it to our lives, the truths that we know, then we're not being a doer as we should. Do you see the disconnect? Let me illustrate it. How many of you as parents, in raising your children now or in having raised your children, at some time you try to instruct them in the correct way of living? If you haven't done it, it's time to start. It's past time to start. How many parents tried to explain about life, giving them insights and advice and suggestions so your child could have live an effective and meaningful, and if you're a godly parent, for a Christian life? Did you do that? Why? Did you do that to fill that child's head with information? Let me tell you, son or daughter, what's life's all about. You didn't just want them to hear your truth. You wanted them to take your suggestion and apply that and live their life according to your suggestion, right? You wanted them to take the truth. You want them to hear the truth, but you want them to be doers of the truth. If we approach God's word that way, then we're not being a hearer at all. And we're not being a doer. We're just being a hearer. I think folks, here's another illustration. I think folks approach God's word as people do with information on the internet. If you want to know anything, all you have to do is to do what? What kind of word is that? Who made up that word? I want to know, don't you? The company named Google, I think, made up that word, right? And so we Google information. When I Google some information, I get thousands of sites where I can get information, don't you? I get tons of information. But when I go to that information, it's interesting, but much of the time, that information does not affect how I live, does it? I was curious this week about the inauguration. I want to know about the inauguration, where did it start, what happens, and so forth. So I was on some websites looking, and when it started, and how long it's been done, and why it's at a certain place, and so forth. And a lot of interesting information, but I don't think all that information is going to affect my life. And that's the way some believers are when it comes to God's word. They look at it, they study it a little bit, but they get the knowledge, but they don't realize God's word is something to be applied. It's living. It's not just a book of knowledge, it's a book of life. Now, other people look at the internet a different way. If you want to do something, you don't know how to do it. The internet's a wonderful place to do it, you know? If you want to fix something, you could Google that, what you need to fix, and you can find that, and they'll give you a video of how to do it. And so if you look at that and get the information and then do it, that's the right. That's being a hearer and a doer of God's word. Now, look at this disconnect with me again in James chapter 1. First of all, look at the hearer. In verse 23, James says, here's what a hearer is. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. James says the hearer is a person who looks at his natural face in a mirror. This is a silly mirror. The word natural face means the face of your birth. You still have your face of your birth? Unless you've had a lot of plastic surgery, you still have your face of your birth. And so James says, a hearer is one who looks into God's word as a man will look into a mirror, and you see, wow, you see things, don't you? You see blemishes. You see wrinkles. You see problems. And James says a man may go to God's word and may see some of those things, but then that man, he has some good intentions perhaps of making some changes in his look, but then he goes his way forgetting. The word forgetting is neglect. It's not just forget, it's neglect. He knows he should do something, but he doesn't do anything to correct it. That is a hearer of the word only. Interesting sidelight. One commentator pointed out that the word for man here, a man looking to the mirror, is not the generic word for man or woman or mankind. It is the word that means male. See, a male will look at this mirror, something I got to fix, I'll get to it, and we forget. Now, this is tongue in cheek now, this is what he suggested. A woman looks in the mirror, ladies are smiling at me, they see blemishes, wrinkles. Are they going to put the mirror down and go their way? The man straightway immediately leaves. The woman's not going to do that, right? The lady's going to fix what's wrong, right? Patch up the wrinkles or whatever needs to be done. I just thought that was a kind of interesting scenario. But a hearer of the word of God, James says, is one who casually looks at the word of God, who considers what is said for the moment, finds it interesting, perhaps as even the Spirit of God even points out things that are wrong, perhaps has a good intention of doing something, but never gets around to doing it. That's a hearer of the word, and a hearer of the word, we'll find in just a moment, is never the person who's blessed of God. It's not the Christian who's blessed. It's the doer of the word that's blessed. Now watch. I don't think some believers have any intention, not speaking of you folks, of course, to do anything about their needs. They're content. They're content. I'm okay. I don't need to be changed, transformed. I'm okay the way I am. We're never okay the way we are. Amen? Dan said he's been saved for 40 years. You got me confused, brother. Has Dan reached the state of perfection? I'll ask his wife. No. None of us have. Regardless, there's room to grow and to mature. We do not have the character of Christ that we should, and we've heard the God's word, but we don't apply it. But we should want to do it. Now, look at the doer of the word. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful or a neglectful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now watch. The doer looks intently into the word. The word here says, looketh unto. The word looketh unto means to look carefully and intently. Are you listening, teenager? It means literally to stoop down and to look at something and carefully and intently look at something that's interest. And what James is saying, a hearer of the word is going to consider carefully God's word. He's going to look at it intensely. There's a desire. Yes, there's a desire. The doer of the word desires to know truth. They don't just read it to be reading it. They don't come to church just to fulfill their conscience. They don't do it just to fulfill certain religious duty. They are truly looking into, I want to see God. I want to know truth. So the doer is one who looks intently into the Word of God. The doer is one who looks purposefully. The perfect law of liberty. That's talking about this thing right here. It's not talking about the Ten Commandments. It's not talking about the law of Moses. It's not talking about a list of do's and don'ts. It's the perfect law of liberty that can deliver us from our problems and meet every need. We look at this, we look into this word purposefully. We believe God's word has principles that we are to live by. And only it's only in God's word that's going to give us instructions. It's only in God's word that we can walk worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him and being fruitful. It's right here. And a doer comes to the word with that purpose. Yes, yes. I come to the word of God so that I may know God and know truth. I want to apply it to my life. I want to be like Christ. Let me give you a statement. Let me give you the statement and I explain it. It's in the notes. The doer is a doer before he does. I'm not sure if that's good English, but that's a good sentence. The doer is a doer before he does. The doer of God's word, it's all about attitude. The doer of God's word approaches this word of God with anticipation. He approaches the word of God with a desire and a willingness to let God speak to us and change his life. That's a doer. He's a doer before he even does anything because he has this desire and this willingness to apply God's word and to be transformed and to be like Christ. That's his desire. That's the reason he goes to the word to begin with. Not to fulfill some kind of religious obligation. You see, what we get out of this word depends on how we approach it. Well, you know, I got to read my Bible. To be a good Christian, I got to read my Bible 10 minutes a day, right? And then tack on another 5 minutes of prayer. Man, that's good. And if you're going to be a good Christian, I got to be in church on Sunday morning and sit there and listen to the preaching and then walk out. I got to do those things. I got to do it. You're just a hearer. A doer says, oh, speak to my heart, Lord. Comes to the word of God with purpose. The purpose is to let God change their life and to be like Christ. Notice thirdly, the doer looks continually in the word. It says, but whoso looketh the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Continueth. The word literally means to remain close or nearby. It gives us the idea of meditation, right? Of meditation on God's word. The New Testament word for meditation means to revolve in the mind, to consider it carefully. The Old Testament word for meditation, which is used in several places, shall meditate on this word day and night, right? Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. The Old Testament word is to ponder and to think carefully. A doer of God's word looks at God's word, studies God's word, sees the principles, and carefully considers what God is trying to tell them in living their Christian life. It's just not reading and walking off. It's not listening to a sermon and walking out the door. It's saying, whoa, what did God say to me? There's a consideration and there's a purpose and there's a plan and there's, oh God, there's a desire to be changed as they consider what God is saying. When you read God's word, do you realize God is trying to speak to you personally? Did you know that? Now, I'm not God's mouthpiece per se. All I can do is to preach God's word. But when I present God's word, God is trying to speak to you through his word. That's where we preach the word. It's God speaking. God is trying to tell us something. God is not just trying to fill your head and my head with knowledge and information. God is trying to show us truth so that we might apply that truth. If he tells us that sin is bad, then we're to cast aside sin. If God tells us something that we're to do, then we're to do it. There's an application that's always involved. And as a believer, as a child of God, a doer of God's word, we've got to look into the word intently. We've got to realize that God's word is the source of our living. Not just reading it or listening and moving on, but intently. It involves purpose. It involves continual. It's the word. James says it's the doer of the word that is what? Blessed. Just being a hearer of the word and gaining knowledge and filling your head with knowledge and saying, oh, I am so wonderful, I know so much. There's a lot of people who are very, what's the word I'm looking for? Smart, but not very wise. There are believers who know a lot of stuff about God's word, and we have to know it. We have to know truth. We have to know truth, but they're not applying it. And just knowing the truth is not sufficient. James says, yes, it's right to know it, and you've got to know it, but there's got to be the application. You with me? You see the disconnect? Knowing God's word is the beginning, right? But then you have to take God's word and say, what is God trying to tell me? What is God trying to show me? Lord, speak to my heart. You remember the story of Samuel? Samuel thought he heard the voice of Eli, and he goes to Eli and says, did you speak to him? I didn't speak to you. He does that a couple of times, and finally says, Eli says, I believe God is trying to speak to you. And that last time when Samuel heard that voice, he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. When God speaks, do you listen? Do you think about it? Do you mull it over? Do you meditate on it? Do you say, God, what do you want me to do? Let me give you a personal illustration. I was in my office yesterday, and, you know, you go through periods of being, I wouldn't say discouraged, but just kind of overwhelmed with situations. Anybody been like that? Janos, have you been overwhelmed by situations this week? They didn't say this, but little Braden has been sick this week. He was diagnosed with pneumonia. Zayden. Pneumonia, the flu, and ear infection all at the same time. Sick little boy. So you understand. And so I'm going, oh, me, Lord, what's going on here? And I was studying for the message actually for tonight. And I was studying and going through some of the points and some of the principles. You know what God said to me? He said, are you listening to what you're going to preach? This is exactly what you need right now. I'm going, and I went, literally, wow. And the Lord just kind of settled me down and said, okay, here's what you're going to preach tomorrow night. Here's what you think is true, and here's what you need this right now. And I'm going, wow, thank you, Lord. Does God do that? God does that through the Word. Now, Paul very much was involved in teaching people the truth, was he not? I mean, we have doctrine after doctrine in all the books in the book. But you know, Paul was actually an exhorter. Paul basically was one who exhorted, in other words, to encourage people in a way of action. For instance, in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians has how many chapters? 6. Somebody said 17. Wrong book. The book of Ephesians has 6 chapters. In the first 3 chapters, we always say those first 3 chapters are about doctrine and truth. Then we say the last three chapters of that book, chapters 4, 5, and 6, are the practical part. What do you mean practical part? Paul says, here's the doctrine. Now you take it and apply it. Live by it. And it's an exhortation about doing what Paul says about, here's what you've heard. Now do what you've been told. For instance, Paul said, let me read a couple of verses here. Paul says, furthermore, brethren, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so that you would abound more and more. You've heard, now I'm exhorting you to do it. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech, it's the same word as exhort, you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So Paul says, you know the truth. Now I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to beseech you to do what you need to do. Now, based on that truth, you know what? God has called preachers to do the same thing. Did you know that? Paul said to Timothy, the preacher, preach the word, Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So I'm going to exhort you this morning. Ready? First, I've got to exhort those who are lost. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say something to you. A mere mental knowledge of the way of salvation, the need of salvation, the means of salvation, if it is a mental knowledge alone, it is not sufficient for salvation. Salvation takes place, and you've heard the testimonies of others, when God, by the Spirit of God, begins to convict us of our sins. and brings us down to ourselves and realize we're sinners on the road to hell and there's nothing we can do about it. It breaks our hearts and we're fearful and we don't know what to do. And we realize that Jesus Christ is the only answer for our eternal destiny. And we cry out with repentance and confession of sin and receive Jesus Christ and trust him and yield him our very life. All to Jesus, I surrender. And God does a wonderful work of salvation in our life. The exhortation is, if you've not received him, if you've not received the gift of salvation that he offers, today is a day of salvation, is it not? If you realize you're a sinner on the road to hell and you've never trusted Christ, today is the day, man. Today is the day. You feel that tug of the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God tugging. I exhort you. I beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And then I have to exhort believers. Again, please take this in the love that it shared. Number one, be in the Word. I cannot exhort you. I cannot exhort myself enough. Be in the book. Spend daily time in the book somewhere, somehow, looking, reading, studying, meditating, asking God to speak to your heart. Not just your mind to give you information, but speak to your heart. Oh God, I need you. Be in church. Be in church often. I don't hear any amens on that one. Oh, I can get by with every once in a while. You can't. You need to hear and learn and then take it and apply it. You need to be in church often, which is more than what? Once a week. I'm not trying to be critical. Please take it in love. Listen to me. We will not grow spiritually. We will not experience the peace of God. We will not live a victorious life. We will not be able to please God. We will not be fruitful if we do not come to the Word of God. And then we're in the Word of God learning and applying. This is the source of transformation. We're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God as God ministers to us through the Word of God. Be in the book. Be in the Word. Number two, approach the Word seriously. Again, this is God's Word. You read novels? I don't have time to read novels. I read commentaries. Some of them are good. They're good if they agree with what I think is right. Some of them don't agree with me, so I don't use them as much. But that's not the same as God's Word, is it? We approach it. This is God. And when God speaks through his Word and we're blessed by the Word and we find encouragement, that's a divine encounter with God and how we need that. Oh, God, speak to my heart. Show me. Let me look in the mirror of your Word. If there's blemishes, if there's sin, if there's difficulties, oh God, help me have to change them. We need a serious approach. There's no other place that we can receive the kind of knowledge and challenge from to live the kind of life that we should live apart from God's Word. Thirdly, we must consider these kind of roll together, but we need to consider God's Word very carefully. Don't just read it and shut your Bible. I read my Bible. Did my thing, fulfilled my duty. I'm a good Christian because I read my Bible today. No, you think, you carefully consider, what is God trying to say to me? What are the lessons? What are the lessons when I read God's Word? What are the lessons when I sit in Sunday school, when I hear God's Word? What is God trying to tell me? God is trying to tell each one of us something this morning. Do you know that? God is trying to speak to your heart and to my heart. There's something that God wants to take from this message and this sermon and apply to our life for everyone. And just to walk out and be a forgetful hearer, God is not pleased. Fourthly, we need to choose to live according to God's truth. When we come to God's Word, we come with the willingness to be changed. We need to let God change. That means we may need to change some things. We may need to alter our lives. We need to realign our thinking. We need to change our attitude. We may ask God, oh, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be doing that. Lord, I should be doing this or whatever, God. And we just align our entire life by what God's Word says and obey God's Word and live according to the principles. These are principles of life. These are principles of life and daily living. This is a book that's alive. This is a great book. Amen? Yeah. If you don't know it, you've not been in it. Let me give you a final exhortation from the words of Jesus himself. He looked at the disciples, and especially the religious leaders of the day. You know what he said? In Luke 6:46, he said this. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? You know the rest of that? And do not the things which I say. How can we say he's the Lord of our life? He's the our Savior, our Redeemer. How can we just praise his name if we only hear God's word, but we're not willing to do God's word? How can we say Lord, Lord, when we're not willing to do the things that he says? So what will we do today, folks? What will we do with truth that we've heard today? What will we do with truth when we read God's word? What will we do with truth when we hear it from the pulpit or from the Sunday school lesson? What we do when the Spirit of God points out things in our life? We look at the perfect law of liberty and we just kind of casually, are we going to apply what God has said? Be in the book. Look at it carefully. Study God's word. Submit. I don't want you to leave this morning being just a hearer of the word. When somebody says, that was a good lesson or a good lecture, I don't lecture. If I'm lecturing, tell me, I'm going to change. I want to preach. What encourages me is when somebody says, oh, preacher, the Lord touched my heart this morning. I don't care whether I preach good or bad. It doesn't matter. We preachers know when we preach good and bad, but the Lord takes God's word and does it anyway. Do you know that? So it blesses me when I hear someone say, oh, preacher, God, no glory to me, God touched my heart. There's a truth that God touched my heart. And that believer is trying to be a doer of the word. We can leave with being a doer of the word, considering what God has said and down the road in our life. Or we can go, thanks for the message. See you later. And by the time we get out the door and out the front, on our way, everything is forgotten. That's a neglectful hearer and not a doer, and that doer will not be blessed. So will you be a hearer or a doer? It's up to you. Bow with me in prayer, please.